continue to recognize who the guest of honor is. Not the people on the stage up here, but it's Jesus. He's the head of the family. He's the one that connects us. And the beautiful thing is that if you're reaching and touching Jesus, and I'm reaching and touching Jesus, really doesn't matter if we're in the same room. In fact, we can be in different countries. We're suddenly connected. And that's a beautiful network right around this globe that the Lord is building. He's built his church. And a lot of that we can't see, but it's there. He's coordinating it all in a beautiful way.
There's no other worthy one. There's no
always a good idea when we bring up the subject of worship to kind of make sure that we're on the same page. There's a lot of ways that it's used, a lot of applications that the word is used in, and so it's important, I think, for us to determine that we're going to use Jesus' definitions if we're going to be sure that we're together, that unity we have because we touch him goes into every aspect of our lives. And because we're disconnected in a lot of those definitions and cultural expressions of things, it's very easy for us to fall prey to deception and to doctrinal winds that'll just knock you out of the game. And the game being the family of God, being the body of Christ, and functional. And the only way that your body is going to be functional is if it's properly connected to the brain, the engine that runs everything, that coordinates everything together. And it's a beautiful and very pertinent picture that's given by Paul in a lot of his letters about who we are and how it works to be his body. So it's very important that we agree before we sing more songs about it or act like we're worshiping, to have this understanding that Jesus' definition has been confused by a lot of language things and a lot of cultural applications. But also, worship in God's book is really the core of God's nature that he's given to each one of us. And the person of Jesus is one like us that shows us how human beings handle this thing of being possessed by the Spirit of God. And so as the core of what God is, it would be impossible for us to understand that unless God made it very simple and illustrated for us. And as with all of the concepts that could take eternity studying and trying to understand, he's made it so simple that we either say okay or yeah, that's what I want, or no, that's not what I want. And so it really boils it down to that. And when Jesus gives us a definition, it's really packed with that invitation to come his direction. And in John 4, he uses the word genuine worship to suggest that that's what God is seeking. And so we have to kind of unpack that a little bit and understand that obviously our cultural application right now, which is to sing songs together in church, really is not what he's talking about. He's talking about you and me stepping up to being something that he's presenting to us by revelation of his own self, his revealing of himself. And he's promised that to those who love him, he will make himself real. And so there's this God that can't be approached. He dwells in unapproachable light, who has given himself in human form for obvious reasons. He wants us with him. And you can hear that in Jesus' voice. But also you hear it in other human beings as they catch on. And if you have your Bible, why don't you turn to Psalm 107? And we're going to follow some of this, but before I read it to you or we read it together, I want you to see what's going on and how to read Scripture or how to listen to the study of Scripture. This is God speaking. Jesus meets us in his Word. He's the Word made flesh. In John's Gospel, he makes that very graphically apparent to us, that the Word of God became flesh and walked among us, dwelt with us. And so as we take him and as we come toward him, we begin to participate in something that's his ministry. It's his personality that we're participating with in relationship to his Father, to our Father. And in Psalm 107, there's several kind of scenarios that it goes through that I think you'll find yourself in. You'll find yourself in this psalm as it goes through these scenarios where people have been lost without hope and without any ability to understand and to overcome, but have called out on the Lord and he has helped them. 107 starts like this. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His faithful love endures forever. Has the Lord redeemed you? Then speak out. Tell others he has saved you from your enemies. For he has gathered the exiles from many lands, from east and west, from north and south. And here's the first scenario. Some wandered in the desert, lost and homeless, hungry and thirsty. They nearly died. Lord, help, they cried in their trouble. And he rescued them from their distress. He led them straight to safety, to a city where they could live. Let them praise the Lord for his great love and for all his wonderful deeds to them. For he satisfies the thirsty and fills the hungry with good things. Now, the way we read and hear Scripture, we need to look for Jesus showing us himself, the Father revealing himself to us, but then also revealing us to ourselves. What is it saying about Jesus? What is it saying about me? And then, what is it saying about us together, our relationship with each other, and then our relationship with the people in the body? It's very important that we have that kind of automatic checklist going through our minds and in the background, looking for Jesus in those things and what he's telling us in these categories. So, were you wandering in a desert when he found you? Some of us were. Now, in verse 10, it says, some sat in darkness and deepest gloom, miserable prisoners in chains. I know there's some of those in this room. Then they rebelled against the words of God, scorning the counsel of the Most High. That's why he broke them with hard labor. They fell and no one helped them rise again. Lord, help, they cried in their trouble, and he saved them from their distress. He led them from the darkness and deepest gloom. He snapped their chains. Let them praise the Lord for his great love and for all his wonderful deeds to them. For he broke down their prison gates of bronze. He cut apart their bars of iron. Now I know that I can relate to that very scene. And some of you can too. Here's another one. Some were fools in their rebellion. How many is going to admit to that? They suffered for their sins. Their appetites were gone and their death was near. Lord, help, they cried in their trouble, and he saved them from their distress. He spoke and they were healed, snatched from the door of death. Let them praise the Lord for his great love and for all his wonderful deeds to them. Let them offer sacrifices of thanksgiving and sing joyfully about his glorious acts. And in Psalm 108, starting with verse 1, with good reason, David sings, "My heart is confident in you, O God. No wonder I can sing your praises. Wake up, my soul, wake up, O harp and lyre. I will waken the dawn with my song. I will thank you, Lord, in front of all the people. I will sing your praises among the nations. For your unfailing love is higher than the heavens. Your faithfulness reaches to the clouds. Be exalted, O God, above the highest heavens. May your glory shine over all the earth." Now just turn over to 149, just before the end of Psalms. Psalm 149, the first verse. Sing to the Lord a new song. Sing his praises in the assembly of the faithful. Now read those verses because here's one of our fellow human beings. Yes, he's king of Israel at the time, and he could just roll up the scroll of what he wrote down in his encounter with the Lord in those moments and send it over to Asaph and say, "This is what we're singing tonight." But over and over again, he's challenging us to do the same. What is our song? I'd like to invite you to just take inventory for a moment and think of some specific situations when you've cried out to the Lord and he's come to your rescue. And as you think about those situations, I would like you to prepare to praise the Lord openly in the assembly of the faithful, those who are also in that category of calling on the Lord and him helping. Give thanks to the Lord. Sing praise to the Lord. And I would like for you to be specific about those things. And as we all partake of this together, we're strengthened and filled up with the compassion, this love that endures forever and shows us his glory, the glory of his grace, which desires to be shown through human flesh, through common, everyday people. And when we're in distress, we can call on him and he comes to our rescue. Now just close yourself in with those events in your life. And whenever you're ready, I would like for you to just let your thanksgiving overflow into this assembly, into the lives and the hearing, the seeing of the event, the specifics of him rescuing you. I'd like for you to make it as short as possible so that everybody has time to do that. But the criteria is to be specific, recount it before the Lord and in our hearing so that we can enjoy that with you and be built up in our faith and confidence in the Lord to preserve his people, to rescue us in time of need. So whenever you're ready, just speak out and speak loudly so that we can hear. Speak in a short phrase. Don't compose a prayer. Just tell of his greatness and your thankfulness in the specific situation that has come to your mind.
Thank you, God, for just ridding me of the chains of the beast of hatred towards my sister. Thank you, God.
Thank you, Lord.
I'm grateful, Father, for you showing me the sins in my life and my awareness of the things that I'm doing.
Thank you. Like those that have been writing on those pads to bring me the sheets. Just tear off the sheets that you've written on and bring them to me, please. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. They've been going through your wallet while you were sitting there, and these are your credit card numbers. No. These are the lyrics of your new song. When you see sing a new song to the Lord, it doesn't mean just make up something that's new. It's talking about ownership, about specific action that's going on in our lives with the Lord, and we are compelled to speak it out. And it's ours. It puts a flag in time. And it says, this is where I was on that moment. This is where you are, at least as far as we could have the time and courage to open up and say. But I dare say there's enough lyrics here for a few songs. And if you come back tomorrow night, pretty good chance that we'll all be able to sing our new song together. So Lord, fill us. Fill us for the coming day. Fill us for now, this moment. And help us have the courage to just follow you every day, to trust in you. For we're just wanderers here, and we won't know our way unless we follow you. In Jesus' name.